One of my problems as a songwriter has been that, you know, John and Paul were always the songwriters, and they started out writing together, or later when they had their partnership as songwriters, if John wrote a tune or Paul wrote it, he always was like Lennon McCartney. But basically, two people, again, it's like in production, you can bounce off of each other. I've always only ever written on my own, except in situations where I've been forced into writing with somebody else, like, say, for example, I wrote some tunes with Ringo because he started the tunes and then got stuck, and so I'd come and help him finish the tune. Or like I did with somebody called Doris Troy, and that was because I was producing her album, and we got to the session and she didn't have any tunes, so I had to make them up on the spot. And the last thing I heard on that was some guy in San Francisco who had some project of reunite John, Paul, George and Ringo. But as I wrote to him, I don't know what the others, because he was saying, and if I don't hear from any of you by such and such a date, I'll take it that it's cool to go ahead with it. He's on a trip. This guy is on a trip about the Beatles. He's built up this big fantasy about how the Beatles are the only thing that can save the world. And that is complete rubbish. You know, the Beatles can't save the world. All we can do, I mean, we'd be lucky if we can save ourselves. It was the same, like, say, when our business manager, Brian Epstein, died. We were suddenly being faced with the realization that, hey, you know, we haven't got that side covered, what are we going to do? And so when the Beatles went, I mean, the idea of the Beatles was like, you know, having a job and then you're either fired or the factory burns down, you know, but for me it was more like I was glad we sort of burnt it down, you know. It became too stifling, you know. It was like, if you imagine any of you have all got, you know, 10 brothers and sisters, and you've grown up and you're all 40 years old and you still haven't moved out, you know, it's like that. It was like that. You need your own space, you know. And the whole thing, we had to try and help break that Beatle madness in order to have space to breathe, you know, to become sort of human. So it wasn't as much fun for us in the end as it was for all of you. And I've said this 100 times, but what was happening was that we were 4 relatively sane people, and it's going around the world, and everybody else was going crackers. They were using us as an excuse to go mad. Oh, yeah, here come the Beatles, yeah, crash and smash up windows and, you know, rip up limousines and just let's have fun and, you know, go mad. And we're in the middle of it getting the blame. To get the 4 people together and just put them in a room and have tea and satellite it all over the world and charge $20 each to watch it, we could make a fortune, and all we could do is just sit there, well, John, what have you been doing? Ringo, I think, you know, I mean,
don't you think
would be just as difficult, because everybody's left home and they're living their own lives.
And it's never going to happen.
I haven't seen John for 2 or 3 years.
But surely you've all grown past the period where you felt the need to grow so much.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm everybody's cool now. You know, we could all hang out together and have a great time, but, you know, the only thing that would spoil it would be all of you with the cameras and the microphones.
George, it's never going to happen. I doubt it,
and if it does, we won't tell you. I don't know, it's all daydreams, you know. I mean, until it ever happened, if it did happen, and I'm telling you it won't, then we'll never know what it would be like. But it would still, I tell you, if it did happen, there's no way we'd do a mediocre record.